Thank you. sing when the roll is called Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, it's time to be your voice, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the favor of the heaven over on the other shore, and the roll is called Up Yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called Up Yonder,
thank you.
23.
Before the death of Jesus, Judas ate too. Jesus fed Judas too. Jesus prayed for Judas too. Jesus washed Judas's feet too. I struggle to fathom what kind of love this is. A love that would feed the mouth and that deceived you. A love that would wash the feet of the traitor. A love that could forgive even the vilest of betrayals. Honestly, I struggled to comprehend it. And then I suddenly realized, I'm Judas too. At that moment, I'm so thankful and altogether overwhelmed that Judas ate too. The test of Christianity is not about loving Jesus, but loving Judas. Showing love to someone like Jesus is so easy, but loving someone hard to love, a sinner like Judas, is difficult. That's what following Jesus is all about.
And I don't know if anyone out there has anything for us other than who we have. Okay, so you need a microphone? Okay.
This is one of my most favorite psalms, and most of the psalms, if not all of them, are just beautiful from the heart of David. But this one, particularly, I'm going to ask to have read at my funeral. It's so precious to me. It's the 103rd Psalm, and in it, I can see and feel the majesty of God. It goes like this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit, who forgives all of your iniquity and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and the place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul.
Amen. And there's no better song to end with our set tonight. There's just something about that name.
Master, Savior. I want to just share a passage that God kind of laid on my heart real quick. This is going to be a very short devotion, and I know that you didn't come planning on hearing me speak, so next time sing more. That's really what it comes down to. The more they're singing, the less time there is for the pastor to speak. Generally, once the pastor gets a microphone in his hand, it really doesn't matter about the time anymore. But I want to read something God kind of laid on my heart earlier this week, and then as I'm sitting there thinking about this. It's in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 8, just a few verses. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And then over in verse 15 it says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall die.'" Let's pray real quick. Father, we just ask now that you would bless your word. Lord, I just pray that the songs and the words that we're saying tonight would just enter into your presence, Lord, a glorious praise. And we just thank you so much for that opportunity. I bless your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Really, real short, what I want to talk about is that choice. The choice that they had. So many times we miss. We look in the middle of the garden, what is there? We know the tree of knowledge of good and evil is there. It gets all the publicity because they made a wrong choice. And when you make a wrong choice, you're going to get a lot of publicity. That's the way it works. But look at that other tree that was mentioned first. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. The tree of life, we never hear much about it. It doesn't make it into many sermons. It doesn't make it into too many Bible studies. But that's the tree that they could have had. And they chose the other one. They chose the one they were not supposed to choose. Why is it when you and I, when God gives us the choice, we're tempted to go towards the one that He says no? Sin has its pleasure for a season, the Bible tells us. But if we're looking, when that choice is there for us to do wrong, there's always a tree of life choice there as well. But we're drawn to that one. Our human nature is there. It draws us to that tree of knowledge of good and evil type of a decision. And some people will say, well, they were drawn to that tree because it benefited them. They wanted, it was that pride thing that Satan said, oh, it can make you like God. But that tree of life was right there within the grasp, and they missed it because their focus was on something else. A lie of Satan and something they weren't supposed to have. How many times you and I do we go through a day and we see that temptation, we turn from that temptation, and we run from it, which we should, but we still miss the fact that there was a tree of life decision there. There was a blessing of God there. And God wants to give us that blessing. He put that tree of life in the same, in the midst of the garden, the same as that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Tomorrow, you're going to make decisions. Maybe even tonight, you're going to make decisions. God sets those decisions before us. There's two trees out there. All through the Bible, there's two of a lot of things. Two gates, two narrow roads, two trees, two choices, two destinations. It's hard enough for you and I as Christians to make those choices. What chance do those people that know nothing about it have if you and I don't tell them, hey, there's two trees? This week, tell people there's two trees. Because they know that one tree. They've heard all about it. But until you and I tell them that there's a tree of life out there, it can be right in front of them. It can be in the midst of life. And they'll miss it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings, for your word, for the fact that you give us that choice. But Lord, we need your strength. We need your direction. We need your leading of the Holy Spirit to help us make that choice. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to share that tree with those around. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. Lord, there is truly nothing but you. We want to bless your name. We want to love you more. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.